Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by the son of York. And all the clouds that lured upon our house, in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Where's that from? These are the jealous words of Richard III in Shakespeare's play of the same name. Now, Richard was jealous of the reign of his brother Edward IV, and history records his lust for power and the throne, and his hand in the killing of his nephews, two of them, and other acts of tyranny. Richard eventually did get to the throne, and he reigned for 2 years, and he was killed in the famous War of the Roses. And he was hastily buried in a monastery, which was destroyed a generation later in the Protestant Reformation. Now, you've been reading the news. Recently, Richard III's remains were found along with that monastery after being lost for over 500 years. All of the pomp and the power gone. His lust and longing for the throne gone after 2 years. And his grave was found where? Underneath the parking lot. I turned and gave my heart up to despair, concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave it all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. So says the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. But Jesus says it even more pointedly. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God. I mentioned the city of Colossae, where churches who received Paul's letters lived. I mentioned that that whole city and all of those churches were destroyed shortly after Paul's letter was read to the congregations. The whole city destroyed by an earthquake. These make Paul's words all the more important. If you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Paul is using again the images of baptism. Now, in many of our minds, baptism is cute and soft. Of course it is, when we baptize a child. But the imagery that we use in baptism is imagery of death and dying. We die with Christ, and we are raised with Christ. This is what Paul is talking about. And we shy away from the images of death because we are a culture that worships health and youth and beauty and vitality. But as Anthony of Sorar says, people who are afraid of death are afraid of life. It is the descending into water. This is where we get that image of death, being buried with Christ. Now, we sometimes lose these images because we are baptizing a little wee one, often dressed in white. But we are saying something in baptism. We are making a promise. We are laying down our life. We are dying to our old selves. We acknowledge that we are made of clay, and we are putting that vessel of clay into the hands and mercy of God. We are surrendering to Christ's work on our behalf. And we are saying we are dead to the old life, and we are taking on the new. Paul says, since we are raised with Christ, we set our minds on the heavenly, and we put to death those earthly things. His list, of course, today is negative. Don't do these things. The positive comes in the rest of the passage, which we actually read a few weeks ago. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves, see the image, with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. This is the new life that we are taking on. Dying to the old self, die to fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, lying, and clothe yourselves with compassion and the list that he gave. Paul mentions the things that gratify the flesh in its basest forms, but he also mentions those other things that are subtle in our lives, that creep in, that we don't realize are there. Wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, and lying. These are things that we also hold on to tightly. Not just those radical sins of the flesh. So we ask ourselves hard questions. In the past week, was my anger out of control? Did I slander someone? Did I say something to make them look bad behind their back? Did I insult the person in the next car? That's my favorite one there. Did I lie to someone I love? Or to my boss? Or to my neighbor? To make myself look better? We hold on to these things because they put us in control. They put us over the other person. Paul says, put those things to death. George MacDonald put it another way. He said, you will be dead as long as you refuse to die. As long as we hold on to the behaviors and idols of our lives that are unchristlike, we are holding on to a life that is not life. What does that new life look like? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and above all, love. And forgive as Christ has forgiven you. If you've been sinned against, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. The laundry list that Paul has, and that we can think of in our own minds, the catalog of selfish acts and selfishness, all those attitudes that we have. Think about it. If suddenly all of our sins of the past week were suddenly forwarded to our entire email list, what would that be like? Christ has forgiven us of those things. Christ has forgiven us of those very acts, those very thoughts, those very intentions. Therefore, because he has done that for us, nailing them to the cross, so also we forgive one another. This is what we mean when we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive. One last thing. Paul says to be heavenly minded. That is, to desire the things of God rather than the things of the world. Now we know the saying that we can be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. But the opposite is also true. It's only becoming more heavenly minded that we will be of any earthly good. Someday, our grave might be under a parking lot. I heard one person say, know that your grandchildren may not be able to spell your name. Someday. But it's not our destiny, then or now. It is to be with Christ, seated in heavenly places. And when our thoughts are raised with Christ, we cannot help but live with compassion, humility, and love, because our hearts are with Him. We cannot cling to what is material, because our hearts are with Him. We cannot be filled with anger and slander, because our hearts are with Him. The Eucharistic table is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, sharing with Christ and all the company of heaven. To ponder the kingdom is to remember that our ultimate destiny is in Christ. 2 weeks before his death, composer Ralph Vaughan Williams was asked what the future life meant to him. Music, he said. Music. But in the next world, I shan't be doing music. With all the striving and disappointments, I shall be being music. Callistos Ware says, you are the music while the music lasts, quoting from T.S. Eliot. Then he says, and in heaven, the music lasts forever. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Amen.